Hey, y'all. My name's Wesley. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from an addiction to K2. It's like synthetic marijuana, alcoholism, and lust. Will y'all please pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the story of grace that you've written in my life. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to share that with others. Thank you for the work that you're doing here in Regeneration, the work that you've done in my life, and the work that you continue to do. Please use this time for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. My story begins like a lot of other people who grew up in the church. I had a great childhood with parents who loved God, loved each other, and loved me. I heard the truth of the gospel from an early age, that Jesus died to save me from my sins, and if I trusted in that truth, I would have eternal life. I made the decision to trust Christ as my Savior when I was 8 or 9 years old, but that decision did not radically transform or inform my thoughts and actions for many more years. I've always felt a deep desire to be liked and accepted for as long as I can remember. This desire quickly led to some contradictions in how I acted in different contexts in an effort to be liked and accepted by friends at school, church, and my neighborhood, not to mention the way I acted when my parents or other adult family members were around. When I followed the rules, my motives were to stay out of trouble, not an obedience that submits out of love or because I believed the rules existed for my good to protect me. As long as my playground and playmates agreed about what was desired or expected from me, then I acted generally in that way. Things took a darker turn in high school. I guess you could say there was a turning point when I was 15 years old and had a cousin who moved in with my family that I really liked and respected. We were the same age, and he was cool, funny, and good with girls, and he also drank and used drugs recreationally. Drugs and alcohol were forbidden in my home, and I had the idea that anyone who used them must be inherently evil, but my cousin didn't seem evil at all. In fact, he was a lot of fun to be around. I didn't immediately run out and start getting drunk and high the next day, but my perspective began to shift, and those things didn't seem like such a big deal anymore. A few months later, when a girl I was dating decided she wanted to experiment with cocaine, I agreed to participate in that as well with little hesitation. My junior and senior years of high school were marked by frequent heavy drug use and inappropriate relationships with girls. It seemed like the world was finally my oyster and I could do what I wanted when I wanted and experience whatever kind of pleasure I thought I wanted, all at the tips of my fingers, and I could not see any immediate negative consequences for those actions. I was a part of the secret underground world of popular kids in my high school who all had this exciting, rebellious lifestyle in common, and it seemed great. Was this what I had been deprived of and sheltered from growing up? Maybe my parents and church leaders just didn't know what they'd been missing out on. But the newfound freedom and excitement of pleasure-seeking with no negative repercussions was short-lived. My thinking always seemed to be a little more, if a little bit of alcohol and drugs occasionally was a little bit of fun, then a lot of drugs and alcohol constantly would be a lot of fun. But trying to maintain a good, upstanding reputation at church and with my parents while maintaining a wild and crazy reputation in the party scene quickly presented problems. I had to act like two very different people from one moment to the next, and keeping those identities separate was tricky. I was constantly lying to somebody. When you lie a lot, it's hard to keep your story straight. My drinking and drug habits started getting me in trouble with the law and trouble at school. Then I had to explain to parents and those concerned about me how it was just a one-time deal and I had learned my lesson and would not do it again. Deception and manipulation to get out of trouble and stay in everyone's good graces became my norm. My life completely lacked any kind of integrity as I tried to keep everyone fooled so I could control their perceptions of me and maintain my lifestyle. Each time I got caught and got in trouble, I would feel guilt and remorse and resolve to change and do things differently. But I didn't really want to change. I just wanted to not get caught. So I would come up with a plan to just be smarter or practice moderation with respect to my drinking and drugging. One such plan came when I was introduced to a designer drug called K2, also known as Spice, that mimicked the effects of marijuana but was undetectable on drug tests. Finally, I could get high whenever I wanted and I wouldn't get caught. It didn't smell like marijuana either, so I reasoned that I could smoke it and people would assume it would be something harmless and innocent. But I was buying a lie. The drug was highly addictive, and in a very short time, I was its slave. K2 told me where to go and what to do and when to do it. It told me how to spend my money and how to spend my time, and I complied. K2 wasn't cool to do around the people I hung out with, so I did it mostly in isolation. When I was around others, I drank alcohol because it was more socially acceptable. You can do it in public at bars and parties with your friends. But the way I drank was not socially acceptable either. In 2012, I was at a lake house with my girlfriend and two other couples that were friends and colleagues. We were having a game night and playing Cranium. Board games with a few friends at the lake sounds like a low-risk situation for getting out of control, but that's not the way my addiction works. Sitting down to play Cranium is the last thing I remember before I was woken up from a blackout, completely naked in handcuffs in a neighbor's house, and being charged with criminal trespassing. That seemed like a good time to start step one of recovery. Admit that I was powerless over my addiction and my life had become unmanageable. My girlfriend, whose mother had to bail me out of jail the next day, agreed with this decision in no uncertain terms. Nobody thought that outcome was a very fun way to end game night at the lake house. I started in Regeneration, Watermark's 12-step Christ-centered recovery ministry, the next week and swore never to drink another drop of alcohol. I reasoned that coming to a meeting once a week at church and not drinking anymore was an acceptable price to pay to put people's minds at ease that I was getting better and could be trusted again. But when we got to step three, I had to make the decision to trust God with my life and my will, and I ran into another dilemma. My will was a lot different than what I understood God's will to be, and my way certainly seemed like a quicker, easier, and more convenient way to experience pleasure and satisfaction. So I continued going through the motions of regeneration to keep up appearances, but I did not confess my addiction to K2 to my region group or my community group at Watermark. I got a mentor and shared my searching and fearless moral inventory with him and managed to leave out a raging drug addiction that was consuming my life. Word of advice, please don't go through a year of recovery here without being fully transparent with someone and fully known. It's really unnecessary and not a good use of your time. A year or so later, round one of regen, it came to light in my community group that I was still in bondage to a drug addiction that I had been diligently hiding from them and lying to their faces about. These men love Jesus and are devoted to following him. To my surprise, they did not reject or abandon me when this truth was brought into the light. They loved me and pursued me relentlessly, the way Jesus loves us and pursues us relentlessly. They extended grace and forgiveness and called me to repentance. But guys, apart from Christ, my heart is corrupt and wicked. Romans 7:18 says, I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is right, but I cannot carry it out. Step one requires full surrender and acceptance of my own powerlessness, and I wanted so desperately to hang on to control and manage the way I felt, the way I was perceived, and my circumstances. Nonetheless, I started back into regen, round two. If you haven't picked up on the theme here, I'm kind of a slow learner. But God is patient with us. By this time, I really did want to stop and get well, but my addiction had a death grip on me, and it wanted me dead. In September 2015, I was arrested for a felony drug charge in possession of K2 and prescription pills that I was abusing and not prescribed to. I spent 2 weeks in Dallas County Jail, praying to God for healing and freedom. At the same time I was praying, so was my mother and other family members and my community group and my region group. And God heard and he answered. The men in my community group that God had appointed as his messengers rallied around me in spite of my betrayal and the pain that I had caused them. They faithfully spoke truth to me in love as they brought me to a fork in the road. They told me I had a choice to make. I could choose to continue down the road I had been going in my sin and brokenness and choose to break fellowship with them, or I could choose to submit to biblical counsel and truly surrender my will to God, and they would prayerfully and carefully help me to get the help I needed. Later that week, I entered into a 90-day inpatient drug rehab facility. It's pretty hard to convince everybody that you have your life together and everything's going great when you live in an inpatient drug treatment facility. That's okay, because everything wasn't going great, and my life was broken. sovereign God knew what it would take for me to come to the end of myself and finally be sick and tired of being sick and tired. Now I could finally concede to my innermost self that I was powerless over my addictions and my life had become unmanageable. This was a good place to begin the road to recovery. But that doesn't mean I had an easy road or a short road to walk down. I had to deal with some major heart issues in order to deal with some major flaws in my thinking in order to successfully change my behaviors. But that's the point. Recovery in Christ is designed to promote heart change, not behavior modification, and that's the true source of life transformation. My past habits have always been to look for loopholes and shortcuts. How could I do the bare minimum and still achieve the desired results-ish? I was immediately tasked with getting a mentor to guide me through the steps. He asked me about my story and how I'd got there and told me briefly about his. He was a recovered drug addict with more than a year of sobriety under his belt. More than a year. That sounded like an eternity. I could barely put together 24 hours, much less a week or a month. He asked me if I was willing to go to any length to get well. That was the kind of question that I was very used to answering in the affirmative to tell people what they wanted to hear, regardless of the truth. This time was different. The fog was beginning to clear from my mind, and it seemed very evident that my alternatives were only death or prison. I believed that God had a much greater plan for my life, and I was ready to take a step in faith to move toward that. Well, 12 steps, actually. And God did for me what I could not do for myself. From then on, I began rigorously working the steps and following the guidance given to me, whether I understood the reasons for it and agreed with it or not. My best thinking got me into this mess in the first place, and looking to myself for the answers was not going to get me out of it. I conducted a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, and this time, I didn't leave anything out. I shared all of my dirty secrets with another person, and once again was met with love and acceptance rather than rejection and condemnation. I made a list of people I had harmed and set out to make amends to them in a way that honored God and others. It is extremely humbling to go to a person you have harmed and look them in the eye and tell them that you were wrong and you regret the way you treated them and you wish to make things right. It doesn't put you in much of a position of power and can be pretty scary. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Recovery in Christ allows you to rely on God's strength and power rather than your own, and I have found that to be a much greater source of power and strength to rely on. When I got to step 12, I was finally perfect and didn't have any more problems. Just kidding. When I got to step 12, my mentor helped me see that what I had was a set of tools to equip me to live the abundant life that God had called me to and continue to walk faithfully in the light in a way that would be a source of blessing and encouragement to me and those around me. A roadmap to freedom and healing had been freely given to me, and if I wanted to keep it, then I had to be willing to give it away by sharing it with others. The first nearly 30 years of my life had been marked by serving myself and putting my own needs before the needs of others, but I was being invited into a new way of living, marked by serving others as Jesus did and as I had been loved and served. By God's grace and power alone, I have been able to continue in this new way of living since then. Today, I would not trade my worst day living in recovery for my best day living for myself into the world in my addiction. The leadership team here in Regeneration and those entrusted as shepherds over me watched as God continued to lead in my life in a way that resulted in a new track record of faithful obedience being established in my life and then gave me the opportunity to serve and even lead in this ministry. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16 says, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." The last year has been a beautiful journey as I have had the honor and privilege of walking alongside a small group of men who have been diligent to turn their hurts, habits, and hang-ups over to God, who loves them and desires to heal them and set them free. God is moving with power among these men in a way that only he can, and it has been my great joy to watch and even participate in this work that God is doing. Last week on Saturday, I celebrated 18 months clean and sober with no use of mind-altering drugs or alcohol in my body. I'm still an imperfect person who still sins and falls short of the glory of God, but I serve a perfect God who continues to pick me back up and who redeems my mess and my brokenness. When I do sin, I am quick to repent and turn from that sin and back to Christ. I don't have that gnawing feeling in my stomach all the time anymore that I'm a huge fraud and a hypocrite who has to continue to hide in darkness rather than being fully known. If I could tell y'all only one thing tonight, it would be that we serve a great and awesome God who loves you and desires to heal you and set you free. He delights in taking dead, ugly, and broken things and making them alive, beautiful, and whole. He's been doing it for a very long time, and he will do it for you too if you will only get out of your own way and let him. There is always hope in Jesus. May God bless you. My name is Wesley. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from an addiction to K2, alcoholism, and lust. To God be the glory.